2 Samuel chapter number 13, and I just want to read just a couple verses. Look with me, 2 Samuel 13, look with me in verse 23. Actually, look at verse 22. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass, I want you to notice this, after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal-Hazor, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold now, thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servants. Now, understand, the king is David. He's talking to his daddy, okay? Look with me in verse number 25. And the king said to Absalom, nay, or no, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him. Howbeit, he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go. Let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Verse 28. Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. Lord, we love you. Lord, I ask God that you would take this thought from the Word of God. Would you help us tonight? Lord, I ask God, Lord, that you would help us enjoy our time of fellowship afterwards. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to explain a couple things in our text. And this was given to me at a conference. I didn't come up with this. This was given to me by a well-known preacher out of Indiana. But it was so good. And it hit me so hard that I thought it would be very selfish for me not to share it with church family. And so I'm going to look at this text. And then right as soon as I get done with that, we're going to go through this. In our text, you're going to find there's a family issue. Now, I'm going to try to be as graceful as I can because I know that there's kids in the room. But if you look at your Bible and if you understand what has happened up to this point, if you look at the very end of verse number 22, where it says he forced his sister Tamar, I believe we can all agree we know what has happened up until this point without me having to go in any further. It was a half-brother and a half-sister. Now the brother hates him because of what he does. And can I say this? Rightfully so. Rightfully angry at what has happened. But the bigger problem is this. Not so much that he's angry at his brother for what he did to his sister, but 2 years have gone by and the daddy's done nothing. That's the problem. That's the issue. Absalom is wounded. He's hurt. There's hurt in the family. King David did not address and fix what needed to be fixed. Can I encourage you tonight that if there's issues within your family, do not put them off. Get them fixed. As rough as it is, as uncomfortable as it is, do not let these things linger. Now, a couple things I want you to notice in our text. Number one, I want you to notice when it comes to Absalom being wounded, he's been hurt, okay? His daddy has not stepped in. And by the way, Absalom's going to go out and he's going to commit a horrible act. Now, that does not justify what he did. But can I tell you, I believe in my heart that if David would have fixed the problem to begin with, probably Absalom would have never done what he did. Now, I can't say that with 100% guarantee, but it probably would have a little bit to do with it, if that makes sense. But I want you to notice verse number 24, we see a request. I want you to look with me. And Absalom came to the king. He comes to his dad And he says, behold now, thy servant hath sheep shears. Sheep shearing was a big ordeal. In fact, it was a big festival. It was a big to-do in their day. And he's asking his dad to come with him and all their servants. And he's making a request that they come together. He's wanting his dad to come along with him. Now, not only the request, but I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the resist. Look with me in verse 25. And the king, Absalom's daddy, said to Absalom, nay, or no. Nay, my son. Here's the excuse. Let us not all now go. Let us all now not go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. That word chargeable says, well, I just don't want to be a burden to you. That's what the word chargeable means. It means to be heavysome or to be burdensome. Now, the interesting thing I find as a king, I question, just to be honest with you from the text, how busy was actually King David? How busy was he? I'll tell you how busy he was. He's too busy for a son. He's putting his affairs, his kingly order, if you will, in place of his child. Did he have a personal interest more important than his son? It appears that way in the text. He says, I can't go with you. So we see the request. Absalom says, Dad, I want you to come with me. Could it be, and I'm not trying to put things in the text that aren't there, but could it be that Absalom was wanting to speak to his dad and maybe go on this trip out to the sheepfold and maybe talk to him about what his brother had did? I don't know. But here's what I do know is that Absalom wanted his dad to come and his dad said no. He said, no, he's too busy for his son. So look with me in verse 25. So he requests, David resists, but look at the end of verse 25. Look at this, and the Bible says this, and he pressed him. In other words, Absalom, I believe it looked like this, he begged him. He pressed him. Daddy, would you just go? Please, Daddy, would you come? Dad, I really need you to go here with me. I want you. It's very important to me that you would come. The Bible says he pressed him. That word press literally means to put pressure upon an unmovable object. Can I say this? In this moment of Absalom's life, Absalom did not need a king. He needed a dad. But the dad was too busy playing the king and didn't want to play the role of the dad. Can I tell you, church, sometimes we get caught up in our professions. Sometimes we get caught up in things. And listen, I understand there's a time and place for everything. But can I remind us of our priorities of our family? And I'll just say this publicly. And I don't apologize for it. I used to do this. When I'd be talking to some folks from our church, even after the service, my kid would come up and run up to me. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And you know what I'd say? I'd say, hold on, son, I'm talking. But can I tell you, from this day forward, you know what I'm going to tell the person? Hold on, my son needs me. And can I encourage you? You ought to do the same thing. He needed a daddy, but instead he got a king that refused. The Bible says in verse 25, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. In other words, David said, I'm not going, but I wish you the best. The Bible says in verse 26, I believe that it was at this moment that Absalom snapped. He snapped. And it's this moment he requests for the brother that the text says he hated. Okay, if you ain't going to fix it, Dad, then guess who is? I'm going to take care of the problem. Let Amnon go with me. He's going to kill Amnon. If you ain't going to fix it, Dad, let him come with me. I'm going to take care of the problem. Verse 26, the Bible says this. Then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him, that he let Amnon and all the king's son go with him. You read the rest of the text. He goes, and then you'll see a moment of rebellion. Absalom kills Amnon. I'm just curious tonight, church, is this. Could all of this been avoided if the daddy done what the daddy should have done? Absalom was hurting. I'm not justifying what Absalom did, but I'm telling you, he was a child that was wounded. He was hurt. And he comes to his father needing a dad, but he doesn't get it. And we see the end result. He was wounded. Now, I said all that to say this. I want you to pull out your paper that I gave you. We're going to go through this together. I thought this was really good. And we're going to go through this. I just want us to go through it together. This is for yours to keep, and I would encourage you to hang on to it. Don't lose it. These are testimonies of a child's spirit who's been wounded by mom and dad. These quotations are what they say. Let's look at it. This is what they say as a wounded child. They feel wounded when they talk about their parents, when they lack interest in the things that are special to me. In other words, a child is interested in something, but you're not interested in it. That wounds your child. When they break their promise. Daddy, would you do this? Daddy, you said. Mama, you said. Can I tell you that wounds a child? When they break a promise. Being inconsistent in their lifestyle. Hypocritical. These are kids saying this stuff. Being inconsistent in their lifestyle. Hypocritical. That wounds children. What about this one? Being ignored. Being ignored. Bringing up past mistakes. What about this one? Not being praised when others are. In other words, we'll praise everybody else for how good they did, but you don't praise your own children. That wounds them. Being disciplined in anger. Can I tell you, Mom and Dad, one of the best things you can do is do not discipline your child in the heat of the moment. Cool off. Send them to the room. Gather your thoughts, okay? Then go discipline your child. But being disciplined in anger. Raising their voices to each other. Talking about the parents. Parents raising their voices to each other. What about this one? Being distracted when I'm talking to them. You know what that looks like? If I lost my phone, if I had it, I would have actually pulled out my phone to do that illustration, but I don't know where it is. Kids trying to talk to you? This is good, church. I'm trying to help us tonight. They feel wounded. They feel wounded when you're distracted and they're trying to talk to you. Acting as if something I want is of little importance. You know what I found is this, is that your children, when they come to you, something that interests them and they want to talk to you about it, if you keep putting it off in the later years of life, when something that's big to you, they'll not come to you. They'll go to somebody else because you never found interest in them. The little things that you think are little are big to them. They ought to be big to us. Seeing my father put down my mother, that wounds a child. Making fun, which honestly, I can't even fathom this one. Making fun of something physically different about me. Needing my parents, but they're glued to their phone or TV. All those things wound children. So how do I know that I have a wounded child? Well, here's some, by the way, like I said, I didn't come up with this. Somebody a lot smarter, more intelligent come up with this. Evidences of a wounded spirit in a child. They're complacent in touch. Unresponsive. They pull away. Closed spirit. In other words, you try to hug them, but there's nothing really there. They don't really like to be physically touched. Can I tell you, that's a big red flag. Something's going on. Can I tell you, by the way, Dad, that ain't just for the moms. You got to hug your children. Your children need your physical touch. They need love, okay? And dads, I'm going to say this. Your daughters need physical touch from you. And I'm not trying to be a pervert, and I hope you're not taking it that way, but they need your affection, because if they don't get it from you, they're going to look at it, look for it somewhere else. They need that. But when they pull away, unresponsive, that their spirit, it seems, closed off, that means they've been wounded. What about their conversation? It's superficial. It's nothing ever meaningful. They speak in generalities. No joy or excitement. There's lack of attention. Their mind wanders in their conversation. Lack of honesty. Not that they're intentionally trying to lie to you, but they just don't give all the details. They've been wounded. Their countenance have that bluesy facial expression with you. There's lack of enthusiasm with you. The other day, I told my kids, so we're going to Lowe's. We've got to go to Lowe's, man. All the kids, yeah, man, let's go to Lowe's. Man, it's Lowe's. You know what? I found out they just want to spend time with their dad. Lack of enthusiasm. What about concentration? They're mentally preoccupied. Poor eye contact with you. They don't like to, your children will not, they struggle looking you in your eye. That means they've been wounded, they've been hurt. So what do we do with it? This is what we'll close with tonight. Ways to overcome or heal a wounded spirit. And I can almost guarantee that every single parent in here has wounded their child. You didn't intentionally do it, but you did. So what do we do with it? Number one, we need to do this. We need to increase our understanding toward them. Recognize the offense. Understand their maturity level. One thing, Pastor Roy Hill, we were sitting at Culver's, he said something like this. He said, and I'm going to butcher what he said, but I'm going to try to say it the best way I can. Parents get stuck when their children grow. In other words, it's hard for parents to grow with their children. Because we're mature, but they're growing in their maturity. And sometimes we treat them with the wrong maturity level when they're out of that maturity level. It's hard for us to grow with them, but we need to try. We need to grow with them in their maturity level. Listen with their age in mind. So we need to increase our understanding toward them. Number two, become tenderhearted. Your tone of voice. It's not just words, but how you say them. This is big right here. Show interest in their interests. Do some things that they want to do. What are they interested in? Number three, attempt to be affectionate. Be gentle. Be aware of need. Number four, seek forgiveness. Parents, there's nothing wrong with apologizing to your children. Apologizing to your children when you mess up, I promise you will do wonders for them. Admit when you're wrong and where the wrong occurred. Make it right where wrong occurred. Number five, add value. Draw attention to what was done right. Listen, y'all, if there's anybody you ought to compliment your children. Compliment them publicly. There's nothing wrong with that. They do a good job, something, man. Let them know. Compliment them frequently how well they did. Communicate that we are available. They ought to know that, listen, I get picked on all the time. People say, preacher, you don't call me back or you don't respond to this. Listen, I get that. But I tell you, there's people in my life, they got 24 access to me, and that's my family. I may not text everybody back, but if I'm getting a text call from my family or my kids need me, they got unlimited access. And by the way, they should have unlimited access to you too. You don't have to call everybody back, do all this stuff, but you ought to have there ought to be a safe space in your home where people can have unlimited access or your kids can have unlimited access to you. Number seven. Let them know that God has a special plan for them. Well, you do it to everybody else. God's got a plan for you. When's the last time you told your child, hey, God's got a special plan for you? By the way, He does. He does. Communicate that to them. God's got something great for you. He's got a special plan for you. They need to know that. And remember, rules without a relationship equal rebellion. Rules without a relationship equal rebellion. Lastly, at the bottom of that page, I have a feeling that every parent with a child that's out of the home now would agree with this statement. Do not sacrifice the best hours and years for other people instead of your own children. You're limited. You've just got a couple years. Can I tell you, it's okay to tell other people no. Spend it with them. I promise you this, you blink your eye, they're gone. Never to enter back in the home again. Never to get those years again. Spend it with them now. Amen. Ms. Stephanie, we got any special instructions of what we need to do?